Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Kevin Randall joining the Paracast with Gene and Chris. We started off with Aztec and the reasons why he can't accept that case. Let's return to one of his favorite cases that he does accept, Roswell. Now, there's a piece you wrote at A Different Perspective. That's the blog, by the way, that he has, kevinrandall.blogspot.com, about Roswell and Chase Brandon. Chase Brandon being an alleged CIA whistleblower. What's the story?
I believe Chase Brandon is the real deal. I mean, he worked at the CIA, and I think other researchers have been able to confirm that. One of them actually called him at CIA headquarters in Langley and chatted with him for an hour or so a number of years ago. In fact, the guy said something to Carl Flock about it, and Flock said, yeah, he was gathering information on you as you were chatting with him. So clearly he was. But the thing that really cracked us up, and I say us, the Roswell researchers. So he's bumming around the CIA. He's in the vault, and by vault, you know, we think of a bank vault type thing where their highly classified materials are kept.
He just happens to be bumming around in there.
Yeah, I in my experience with top secret material, you didn't go into the vault unless you had a reason to go into the vault. You just didn't go in there to bum around. But he's in the vault looking around, and he finds a box labeled Roswell. And so he pulls it down, and he sees in their photographs and reports that convinces him that Roswell's the real deal, extraterrestrial. I'm thinking, this is preposterous. This is as dumb as Corso's story about seeing the bodies of Fort Riley, Kansas. You know, his sergeant buddy was in there. The convoy from Roswell was going to Wright Field, and they stopped at Fort Riley for overnight, and they had apparently unloaded the trucks and put guard from Riley on the stuff, and one of the guards opened a box and found an alien, and he called his buddy Corso, and they looked at the alien. I mean, Chase Brandon's story is as preposterous as that. You know, I'm just in there looking around and find a box labeled Roswell. Why would it be labeled Roswell, for God's sakes? Why wouldn't it be labeled something else? Why not just dated? But the whole thing struck us as preposterous, and then we discover, well, he sold a science fiction novel. Well, now we know he's trying to get his face on television, his voice on the radio, so he can sell some science fiction books, and more power to him on that. But his opinions on Roswell mean less than nothing to me.
Is that like Annie Jacobson, who wrote this Area 51 book, and she throws in a Roswell thing there just to get headlines, get on TV interview shows, and sell the book?
I think so, because Roswell sells, and everybody knows it. I would think a book about Area 51, if she got the history of it right and was doing all this other stuff, that would be a fascinating book. But she talks to this unidentified source who tells her about and she doesn't even know enough of her history to realize that Mengele and Stalin wouldn't be doing anything together, creating the, you know, the mutant teenagers to fly the UFOs.
So they basically don't have fact checkers at her publisher. The other thing to add, by the way, is supposedly she is a co-executive producer of a new AMC TV network show about Area 51 taking place in the 50s involving UFOs, kind of a modern-day variation of the Dark Skies show that Bryce Zabel did back in the 90s.
Well, you know, there was a science fiction series 15 years ago called Area 51.
Uh-huh.
Which dealt with the UFOs and all of that stuff. Stargate, SG-1, on the Sci-Fi Channel. Well, it started out on Showtime.
But it actually descended from a movie from Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin, who did Independence Day. They came up with a TV variation of it, Stargate SG-1, which went on for 12 years.
No, Stargate came from the movie Stargate.
That's right.
An actual movie
Stargate. That's what I'm saying. The movie with Kurt Russell and James Spader, this movie from the 90s. Then they made a TV show, Stargate SG-1, which begat Stargate Atlantis and Stargate Universe, which ended like a year or two ago. So they got quite a bit of mileage out of that.
In the Stargate series, they're often over at Area 51, where the alien technology is stored. You know, not just in the Cheyenne Mountain complex, but they're always going over to Area 51 to goof around. So, I mean, Area 51 as a science fiction device has been well mined in the last 20 years.
Okay, so there's always room for Area 51. It's
yes.
part of the mythos.
Yes.
And if you claim you knew something, you can possibly get some headlines.
Yes. Well, the thing I've always been going to do is put on my uniform, go to Wright-Patterson and have a film crew with me and say, yeah, I just came from the building. I saw the body. What's the big deal? I was just in there. I saw them. Yeah, let's go on.
Just go on in there. You can definitely see the bodies.
They won't allow you in with a camera, but I just came from in there, and I saw them. So.
And when you see them, you'll see Philip Corso's fingerprints on the coffin.
Yes, you will. And you will find a duplicate Chase Brandon box labeled Roswell. So it's all there.
Actually, it's in Warehouse 13.
Yes, that's exactly where it is.
You guys crack me up.
The Sci-Fi Channel ought to send us money for all the programs of theirs we're promoting.
They should send us a check because they have so much of the stuff. I like the Sci-Fi Channel. I have fun with their shows. I don't take them seriously, but I certainly have fun with them.
Oh, I like Destination Truth. I think Josh Gates is a hoot. Never finds anything, but he has a lot of fun looking for it.
Let's talk about those people who found an Air Force button at Roswell, New Mexico, this kind of wacky TV show called Chasing UFOs from the National Geographic Channel. Now, let's understand something here. One of the participants of the show, James Fox, has been on the Paracast a number of times. He's a sincere gentleman. He's done some pretty good work with his own documentaries. So he hooks up with this crew for chasing UFOs. Ouch. Now, we've already spanked him a few times on the show. Our listeners have spanked him in our forums. I've talked to him on the phone and spanked him. We've had him on the show talking about chasing UFOs, and he was a pretty good guest, and he was very honest about what he had to say. So, very briefly, why do we get shows like that? Who thinks that people who might be interested in UFOs are going to care about the worst possible reality show?
Well, the one thing that you didn't point out is that Aaron Ryder was on Destination Truth with Josh Gates. I just happen to know this fact for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, she's also an executive producer on Chasing UFOs as well.
Yes. And the thing is, I think the cable networks understand that UFOs will bring in ratings for them, and they're interested in ratings. I think that button that they found was planted out there, because after the show aired, I found, having been in the Air Force myself, I found one of the buttons from a uniform, and it had been exposed to the air for 20 years, and it was not as nearly good a shape as that button was that they found. When they found the button, I knew immediately it was irrelevant, because in July of 1947, the Air Force didn't exist. So nobody would have been out there to drop an Air Force button in July of 1947 when they were retrieving the material. The other problem they have, it's a button off a Class A uniform, and anybody with any military experience would have known that no one in a Class A uniform would have been out there crawling around picking up the stuff. The guys would have been in fatigues, or as we would say today, our Army Combat Uniform, ACUs, which used to be BDUs, which is Battle Dress Uniform, but used to be fatigues. But the button was from a Class A uniform. They wouldn't have been out there in a Class A uniform. So the minute that it was picked up, the minute I saw it on the program, I knew that this button was irrelevant. It had nothing to do with the Roswell case. It was obviously planted out there by somebody, and I don't know who planted it there. I have my suspicions.
Are we going to assume that maybe one of the advanced people for this TV show did that?
I think that's exactly what happened. I don't think, is it Ben McGee and Jeff, is it Jeff Fox?
James Fox,
or Aaron Ryder. I don't think they had anything to do with the planning of the button, but I think the button was planted out there. You look at the button, it's pristine. It's supposedly laid out there for 65 years, and they pick up the button. It looks like something you could sew on your uniform today, not to mention the fact that you could go to any surplus store in the free world and find Air Force buttons to take out there.
Well, maybe we're losing our buttons. I don't know. We have Kevin Randall. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're focusing, for a few moments anyway, on the Chasing UFOs TV show, still playing on the National Geographic Channel. If you want to check it out, or maybe have a good laugh, depending on your point of view. Now, this button, it doesn't matter. What if the button was of someone from the Army that might be dated back to 1947? What does it prove? Absolutely nothing, except that somebody from the Army may have been there and lost a button.
Well, it was an Air Force button.
I understand what it was, but I'm saying if it was a button from some other service, what's the difference?
The button is, as you pointed out, the button's irrelevant. It doesn't prove anything. And I don't know how many people have been across those fields in the last 20 years since they were first identified. I think what happened was somebody knew about Frank Kimbler. Frank Kimbler is a geologist who teaches in Roswell, and he has been out to the debris field a number of times, and he's found some buttons off fatigues, but I don't think anybody with the TV show knew what that meant, so they went out and found an Air Force button to drop out there. The thing that kind of annoyed me about that is nobody'd know where this place was if it hadn't been for me, and I got Bill Braswell to take us out there. Bill Braswell took Don Schmidt and me out there, so we know where this place is because Bill Braswell took us there, and in the last year or so, people said, well, you guys have the wrong place. And so I published the picture of Don Schmidt standing with Bill Braswell on his pickup truck, where Bill Braswell saying, yeah, the little bits of I found were right around here. I mean, Bill Braswell took us there. I mean, you can't find a better source than that. So we know where it was. Frank knew where it was because the International UFO Museum told him where it was. They knew where it was because Don Schmidt told them where it was, and Don Schmidt knew where it was because I got Bill Braswell to take us both out there.
But you see, you have to look at the thing here, too. This looks like the really cheap way to make a TV show, where you go into a place and you look for something, anything, and you say, gosh, golly, gee whiz, we saw something, but it has to be done at night, so you have the night vision. It's kind of like this Paranormal Activity or Blair Witch Project kind of taking pictures.
Yes.
You call found footage, these rough, rushed, fuzzy handheld cameras. It gets very annoying real fast. In fact, there was a TV show on, I think, last year on ABC where they have this same kind of motif from the producers of Paranormal Activity. And the thing lasted, you know, just a few weeks before people gave up on it. I think that technique grows real old real fast. But the question I would have in general, and I hope, let's just say this honestly, I hope that James Fox does succeed in, if there's a second season for Chasing UFOs, finding a way to do it better. To improve it, to provide a decent level of scholarship research, and to make an entertaining presentation, not just a cheap out.
I just saw the episode yesterday again, and I watched the ending where they find the button and all of that nonsense very, very carefully. James Fox may be a wonderful guy, but he's right there playing his role as they find the button. You know, wow, this is great. I'm getting chills. I'm getting chills up and down my spine. This is great. This is amazing. We found something important. No, you found a button that shouldn't have been there and has nothing to do with the UFO crash.
He's being hired as an actor.
That's exactly it. And it was bad acting, too, by the way. No offense, James. But the acting wasn't very good. And then, you know, they've got that stupid footage from the missile crash at White Sands.
Right.
And, you know, this has been around the Internet for, what, 15 years? They're saying, well, we talked to our missile guy, and he said this couldn't possibly be a missile. Yeah, would you like to know what test it's from? If you checked with White Sands, they'd tell you exactly what test it was from, because they know what the footage is. And now we get on their blogs and whatnot saying, well, you know, yeah, we kind of blew it on this one, and we really don't want to do this sort of thing. Yeah, well, you did that sort of thing, and you got caught up in the moment, and it does us all a disservice because it makes us all look like a bunch of idiots.
Do you think that was a self-serving blog entry then?
I think so. I think the Roswell one really annoyed a lot of people. I mean, I even put a blog entry on there that talked about, you know, the button being from the Air Force and it shouldn't have been. My entry on my blog was dated two days before their blog entry. I sent both McGee and Fox emails and never heard back from them, but they probably got 8 billion emails, so I really didn't expect to hear from them, expressing my dissatisfaction with it and what's wrong. And then suddenly we get this, well, we have these problems and we were doing this and, you know, we're really disappointed in that. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's very self-serving. It's exactly self-serving.
I've got to chime in here, too. They did I think the third or fourth show touted the San Luis Valley as being this hotspot. And then they covered all these cases that weren't even close to the valley. And kind of the insinuation was that these cases were from the valley. And that, to me, that's almost going over the line into dishonesty, using the name of a place and then not even doing anything there. To me, that's quite self-serving.
Well, yeah, or say a real live news organization using rocket igniter motors to prove that saddle gas tanks on pickup trucks will explode, but they couldn't get it to do it, so they used rocket igniters to make sure it exploded in a spectacular way. I won't mention the network NBC that did this a number of years ago.
We shouldn't mention NBC.
Well, I don't want to mention NBC, but...
No,
but,
I don't know why we talk about NBC, because they've had problems.
But the whole point is you're lessening people's belief in what they're seeing on television when it's supposed to be news. Now we have documentaries, and I get that the producers of the documentaries sometimes have their own agenda, and it comes through on the documentary. And if I'm making a documentary, then my agenda may come through in the documentary. But by the same token, this chasing UFO is just preposterous. They find a piece of tin in the Roswell debris field, and they get excited about that. And I'm thinking, it's a piece of tin, for God's sakes. And then they get back, and the analyst says, well, this is from a tin can. Really? Boy, but they're talking about, well, it's very desolate out here. Yeah, but that place has been identified for 20 years, and it's a working ranch, so people have been around there. There's been at least two archaeological expeditions out to that place where they were. Now, I know on the one that I was involved in, we were very careful not to leave stuff behind, which is not to say we didn't drop something or leave something behind, but we tried to make sure we picked up everything that we took in there. There's been that. There's been lots of people traipsing around that area in the last 20 years. The coordinates were published in the MUFON Journal once, at least once that I know of. And I think if you Google Earth, you can find the coordinates on Google Earth now. So there's been a lot of people out there. So the fact you found an old rusted tin can is really irrelevant.
This is a crime scene that has been contaminated to a fare-thee-well.
Yes, yes. In fact, I know people have been scattering metal out there to trip up people with their metal detectors. I know that for a fact, and I'm almost positive that button was planted out there.
So basically speaking here, it's really difficult in terms of the original site. Probably impossible at this point to do anything in terms of getting any information, or am I wrong?
There may be something there. When we were talking to people back in the early 1990s about that, they would talk about the prevailing winds through there and the metal being so light that it would stir in the wind. And a couple of them said, you know, you really shouldn't be looking here. You should be looking in West Texas now, because the stuff would have blown off the debris field and into Texas by this time. But the possibility, I know that one of the things you do, archaeologically speaking, is you try to find plants that are, in this case now, 65 years old, to look at the roots around them to see if they've been embedded in there.
We'll have to look more at the plants and the soil and all this other stuff at Roswell. We have Kevin Randall with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is, you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locked locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We've all heard the phrase, "Don't judge a book by its cover." A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best-kept health secret ever. See for yourself at camelmilkforsale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Back with Kevin Randall. We're focusing for a bit more on Roswell, and you were talking about the things you do at the site, check the plants, check the roots, check the soil.
And check the rodent burrows, because, you know, pack rats take shiny objects down into their burrows, so, you know, you look for that sort of thing. But, you know, the odds of finding something at this late date are pretty remote. I mean, we're 65 years later, so...
So is at this point, is it just reviewing and re-reviewing the current evidence and hoping we get some more information? I'm going back to your Roswell Dream Team. And tell our listeners who haven't tuned in lately about this, who is part of this team? We call the Dream Team, you don't. So let's leave it at that, too.
Well, the idea was to re-examine the Roswell case as a cold case, look at everything, and begin at the beginning and see what we could turn up. And just the other day, Frank Joyce, who was a radio announcer in Roswell in 1947, when this broke, he talked to Mac Brazel, the guy that discovered it, and he had saved some teletype messages from that era. He didn't save all of them, but managed to save some of them. And one of them talked about, is this the same ranch where there's a big hullabaloo last week? And we've always wondered about that. What is that talking about? Well, in the last week, we've been able to identify that apparently is a case that was published in the Albuquerque Journal on June 30th, so it has nothing to do with Roswell, June 30th, and it was from Little Tiny Cliff, New Mexico, which is down in the southwestern corner of New Mexico, near Lordsburg, that area. So we've been able to identify the ranch where the big hullabaloo was last week. So by looking at all the material as a cold case, reviewing the transcripts of the interviews with people, and looking at all of this, we've been able to identify some things that help us understand the case a little bit better. But what this was is Tom Carey, who wrote Witness to Roswell, approached me and said he wanted to take the ultimate look at the Roswell case. He wanted to reexamine the evidence and produce what he thought of as the ultimate book. And he wanted to know if I would like to participate in that. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then he asked Don Schmidt to be involved, and we invited Tony Braglia to participate, because he'd been very helpful in finding witnesses and providing some additional information. We talked to David Rudiak, Dr. Rudiak, because he had been doing an awful lot of work on the Ramey memo. This is the photograph of Ramey in his office on July 8th with the debris on the floor, the weather balloon debris on the floor, but he's holding a document in his hand. And blow-ups of that show that you can read parts of it. So he's been attempting to read exactly what that memo says for any number of years and coming to some conclusions about what that said. We thought that would be important to have. And then we asked Chris Rakowski to join us as sort of our resident skeptic on this. So we'd run stuff by him and say, you know, what do you think of this? As a resident skeptic, what would you like us to produce in the way of evidence? So we're trying to look at all of that. And the thing that is astonished me in the last couple of weeks is the documentation we've been able to find that relates to it. Part of it is like the teletype messages that Frank Joyce had. And there's an FBI, couple of FBI documents that are relevant. We found some other stuff that is kind of interesting. So we've been able to assemble some documentation, limited though it is. So we're approaching this as a cold case and attempting to review everything to see what might appear in there that would be that somebody else might have found or we might have overlooked as we're dealing with all this information that might give us a better clue and provide us with some information.
Kind of like you don't want to have tunnel vision here. You're trying to look back at the evidence as a totality and see where you're going and where you can go.
Yes. Look at everything. I mean, because there's a lot of stuff going on. You've got John Keel's balloon bomb nonsense that came out in the early 1990s, where he thought that what they found was the remains of a Japanese balloon bomb. Well, given what we know about that, yeah, probably not, because it would have had to lay around in the desert for 2 years, and the location where this debris was found was a place that they visited every other day at a minimum. They were there frequently, given the way the ranch worked and where the water sources were. So a balloon bomb doesn't make any sense in that respect. But look at all of this stuff. We tried to find, if NOTAMs, notices to airmen that are published daily by at the time we were in the CAA, now the FAA, about things that are relevant to pilots flying in and out of airports. It might be something as dumb as runway such and such will be closed for 2 weeks for repairs, or the trees at the end of the runway are now an obstruction type of thing, you know, things that you need to say. Project Mogul was required to make NOTAMs because they thought these big, long arrays of balloons would be a hazard to aerial navigation. So they were required to turn the information into the FAA. So we spent a lot of time looking for NOTAMs to see if we could find a NOTAM that, A, would tell us how they described the balloons themselves, and, B, give us some more information on the flights that would help us understand whether or not Mogul could be an explanation for the Roswell case. So we're trying to look at all of that sort of thing. We talked to a lot of people who hadn't been interviewed before, surprisingly. Most of them that we're finding in today's environment are telling us, well, I wasn't directly involved. You know, my friends, they came back to the barracks one night and they were kind of talking about this. Talked to an MP who said that he wasn't involved, but his friends had come back and were talking about this flying saucer, and he didn't believe them until he saw the thing in the newspaper the next day. So it gives us an idea of when they were out there. It kind of frames the time for us. We can look at all of that sort of thing and see what we can learn.
Now, looking at the overall picture, how long do you think it's going to take to go through all this evidence?
We've been working on it since last summer, and we're still working on it. So what I find is we're beginning a process of writing some of this stuff down, and in that process, it's helping us to visualize it a little bit better. It's helping us organize the material better. So we can look at a specific problem and then begin to pull the sources together for that particular problem and review all of the stuff. So I was rereading the transcripts that Sheridan Cavett had gave not only to Colonel Weaver when he interviewed him, but the transcripts that I have of the interviews that Don Schmidt and I had with Cavett at the same time. And we can, you know, we find Cavett just lied to us all the time. He and Weaver clearly sat down and discussed how they were going to work through the interview, because there's points where there's the next logical question that's never asked. And one of the points is, Weaver asked him about the balloons, and Cavett says, "I recognized it as a balloon the moment I saw it." the next logical question should have been, well, did you mention that to Jesse Marcel, who's on the field with you? But the next question is something else. They just gloss over the fact that Cabot, who apparently recognized it immediately as a balloon, didn't bother to tell Marcel and didn't bother to tell Blanchard what it was.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
Well, all you got to do is read Weaver's interview with him, and so clearly they were working from a script. I've been trying since the mid 1990s when the Air Force came out with their ludicrous explanations for Roswell through FOIA to get documentation about how all of this transpired, and I have had no luck in doing it. The best we've done is we were able to I was able to go through the documents that they had sent to the National Archives that were the consequence of their investigations, that include such things as a court-martial of a doctor who was having an affair with a nurse in 1957. And they weren't very clever about what they were doing. They would take his car one day and go to one weekend and go to a hotel in El Paso, and the next week they would go to the same hotel in El Paso using her car, so you could link them together that way. And there were three alleged pornographic pictures in the file, and it was basically, you see much better pictures in Penthouse and Playboy in today's environment. But this document was irrelevant. That's one of the things that they gathered in their Roswell investigation, was this affair from 1957.
That doesn't make much sense either.
And you get a lot of irrelevant stuff, and you try to get the relevant stuff. I'm going to ask in our next segment, Kevin, before we move to other subjects, just what form you expect to present your findings. We have Kevin D. Randall joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Let's keep preparedness simple. Do you need stuff for disasters? Of course you do. For over 15 years, DisasterStuff.com has, well, stuff for disasters. See? Easy to remember. DisasterStuff.com. Want free shipping on a new Berkey water filter? DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. Lots of folks want an EMP Faraday bag to protect sensitive electronics during a solar or nuclear event. Now for a limited time, all survival gear purchases over $75 include a free 8x8 inch EMP Faraday bag. Just enter promo code EMPBAG when you check out at DisasterStuff.com. We're also a Country Living Grain Mill authorized dealer. Plus, we offer freeze-dried foods by Alpine Air and Wise Foods. We also carry emergency kits, survival seeds, and much more. Preparedness should be simple, and it is. Just remember, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient nutrient value of fruits and vegetables and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TERAGANIX.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, BERKEY, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Kevin Randall's joining us once again. The show is the Paracast with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien. And Kevin's blog is A Different Perspective at kevinrandall.blogspot.com. We'll have a link over at theparacast.com. Okay, so whenever it happens, and obviously you're immersed in a lot of work here, how do you intend to present your findings? Are you going to write a book about it or write a report?
We're hoping to do a book that will be heavily footnoted so that all the information that we present, others can see where it came from, how we divined this information, where it came from. And I know in the past some of the footnotes in UFO books and some of them in mine have been somewhat circular, meaning it just really doesn't go anywhere, and we're hoping to alleviate that by making it very clear how the information was gathered and why we think this isn't true and how we've attempted to corroborate it and that sort of thing. So we're hoping to publish our findings when we get to that point and look at all aspects of the Roswell case from not only the information we got from Bill Brazel, the son of the man who found it, up through the MJ-12 documents and how they may or may not be relevant to Roswell. And the other thing, which we probably will not cover, is the alien autopsy, which was the thing that came out in the mid-1970s, which I think practically everybody involved in it has now said it was a hoax.
Yeah.
And so I think that, and it's really not about Roswell anyway, because the bodies were supposedly picked up in somewhere else in New Mexico and all sorts of things. So I'm thinking that's probably not something we're going to discuss.
Well, Kevin, that kind of leads to a question from one of our forum posters, Blowfish, who's been a longtime poster on the forums. And he has a number of questions for you, but one that deals specifically with Roswell. Is it possible, or plausible rather, that Roswell or any other so-called UFO crashes were man-made covert technology rather than something ET? For example, early development in satellites, drones, anti-craft decoy devices, etc., that type of technology during the Cold War years?
We looked into that deeply. Spent a lot of time at White Sands, New Mexico, for example, to find out what they were doing. None of their things they did go astray, but they're all accounted for in the records. There's nothing that's missing from the records that would suggest anything like that. Went to the Space Museum in Alamogordo and looked through their records as well, and found out that in July of 1947, about the biggest things they were sending up in rockets were mice, and these were rockets that really just touched the edge of space, nothing that had gone into orbit or anything like that. So we looked into the technologies of what it could be. The Air Force, in their investigation, said they had looked for any experimental aircraft or anything like that that might account for this, and had they found anything, you know they would have trotted it out immediately. And they said, no, they couldn't find anything like that either. I think that any technology that we might have developed in 1947 that would have been, might have fooled people in 1947 is something that's now 65 years old and way in the past, and we would be well aware of it. We'd be able to find traces of it. But we haven't found anything that suggests it's man-made technology at all. The only thing left is the Project Mogul balloons, and I think people have to understand that the Mogul balloons were basically weather balloons, nothing extraordinary about them. The targets were radar targets that had been used in World War II, nothing extraordinary about them. Stuff that Marcel would have recognized immediately when he'd saw it, and he wouldn't have been fooled by it, and that would have been the end of it. So we've looked at and we're continuing to search for anything like that that might suggest an Earth-based technology, and we just haven't found anything that is very persuasive.
But I have heard, you know, some rumors of Wernher von Braun, for instance, interested in the Roswell case back when it occurred, and that wasn't he somehow involved with what was going on down at White Sands during that time period?
Yeah, the V2 stuff was going on at White Sands at the time.
Right. And, well, wasn't it the DISC, was the Defense Industrial Security Council or Committee or something, weren't they based there?
There was any number of different things there. We just can't find any connection between that and what fell at Roswell, anything going on at White Sands. Frank Kaufman had said that he had mentioned it to von Braun in, I think, the 1960s, I think it was. And we were able to actually put Kaufman and von Braun in the same room in an event that took place in Roswell. So Kaufman could have talked to him, but we since learned that Kaufman was making up most of what he was telling us, so that becomes an irrelevant connection. But there was a connection between. We know that von Braun was in Roswell at the dedication of one of the museums there, and there's what's called a congressional recognition that describes this whole thing. I've got a copy of it in my files, describes that. So von Braun was in Roswell in the 1960s, but I think by that point nobody was talking about the UFO crash, so it really has no relevance to it.
Well, that kind of leads me to a question that was just posted by Marduk, who's one of our longtime posters as well, and he said, just one question, and it's a bit rhetorical, but why do researchers in the field continually over-focus on cases that are ancient history, such as Roswell, Aztec, Travis Walton, etc., instead of the newer cases coming out today? Is it because the new cases are not as interesting as the abductee/contactee era, or is it a human failing that we become more interested in the personalities and soap opera stories than the evolving phenomena as it exists today? And he gives an example that there were almost 1,000 sightings reported in Canada last year, slightly up from the year before. And he asks, were they all just boring, or are we just fascinated with the political machinations of people on Earth that call themselves UFO research?
Well, that kind of puts me down, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Well, you're also in good company. It puts Chris and myself down.
Yeah.
Where do we go?
I think one of the problems is a lot of the sightings are just lights in the sky. And when you get down to the bottom line, it's lights in the sky. And somebody seeing another light in the sky isn't going to advance our knowledge very much. So in that respect, they're not very interesting. A lot of them aren't very interesting.
Well, unless you have a triangulated high-res camera array
data. And then you've got something extremely interesting. Or you've got something that's landed and left traces behind, some different change of evidence, if you will. The reason the Roswell case is so fascinating, I believe, is because this case changed the whole perspective of UFO research. If it had not crashed in Roswell, where the military could control the media, there were four media outlets, the two newspapers, the two radio stations, and the place is still sort of isolated. If you look at it on the maps, it's 3 hours from El Paso, 3 hours from Lubbock, 3.5 hours from Albuquerque. So it's not exactly a hub of commerce, if the Chamber of Commerce heard me, it'd probably send me a nasty letter. I mean, it's a beautiful town, but in 1947, it was really out of the way. And the Air Force, the Army Air Force, could control access to the information. Had it happened today, they couldn't control the access to the information. But what's critical is on July 8th, we've got the newspaper article that says they find the flying saucer. The next day, you begin to get newspaper articles that says the Army and Navy moved today to stop stories of flying saucers whizzing through the atmosphere. Why suddenly does the Army and Navy on July 9th care about these stories? They've been going on for 2 weeks. Nobody cared about them. You know, it was interesting. It was a silly season. Let's talk about them. All kinds of explanations going on. But suddenly, on the 9th, they want to stop the stories, stop the talk about it. And I think because of Roswell, it changed the direction of research. Had it not happened then, we would have had a completely different direction for UFO research, and we might not be having this discussion.
So Roswell was the linchpin.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But it's got the multiple chains of evidence if you can get to them. You've got the eyewitness testimony. You've got the possibility of the metallic debris. You've got the alien bodies. You've got all the elements there to prove that UFOs are extraterrestrial if the evidence can be followed properly and we can get to the right answer.
Stories
of the lights in the sky don't get us to the extraterrestrial. They get us to, well, that was an interesting sighting. In fact, just last night here at home, they had a story about UFOs being filmed over one of the towns. And I'm thinking it looks like flares on weather balloons because I've seen an awful lot of that kind of video footage lately.
Oh yeah,
but almost nightly. But there again, it's, you know, lights in the night sky, and is that going to get us to an answer? No, it's a nocturnal light, and it's interesting for the people that saw it. It might be scary for the people that saw it, but it doesn't advance our knowledge, unless it does something really interesting, like the balloon blows up, and then you can say, well, we've solved that case.
Well, you brought up the term extraterrestrial, and that leads to another question from a fairly recent addition to the Paracast Forum family.
I'll tell you what, Chris, that question will be asked in just a moment. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNlive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNlive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNlive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Clear out your pantry and make room in your closets. You're going to need the space for these hot August deals at BePrepared.com. Going on now, save 23% on Provident Pantry Scrambled Egg Mix or 28% on freeze-dried strawberry slices. New this month, baking cocoa for daily use or long-term storage. Buy one of the Provident Pantry baking or dessert combos and save up to $25 off individual component pricing. Or add some weight to your water storage at BePrepared.com. The ultimate 55-gallon water barrel combo is on sale this month for only $94.99. Food and water storage is great, but how are you going to cook it in an emergency? The popular Volcano 2 collapsible stove. Save $27.96 off MSRP. Go to BePrepared.com for more details and more August savings now through August 31st. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and BePrepared.com's low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.